My guest at this time is longtime reporter and author Ken Timmerman. He has also been a candidate recently for Congress and Lieutenant Governor in the state of Maryland. His most recent book is Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. With many different stories occupying our attention over the past couple of weeks, from the Middle East crisis to the problems on our southern border to Russia and Ukraine and beyond, it didn't get a lot of attention last weekend when the United States evacuated its embassy staff from Libya because of the threat to their security. Many Americans, of course, are familiar with the ongoing investigation into the Benghazi terrorist attacks in 2012, but not a lot of attention has been paid to what's been actually going on the ground in Libya in general in the 3 years now since the death of Muammar Gaddafi. And Ken, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, the explanation, of course, was that there was fighting, essentially civil war type fighting, and even fires very close to our position in Tripoli, and the safety of our personnel can no longer be secured. Just how unstable are things in the capital and beyond in Libya?
Well, it's basically the country is descending into chaos, and I think this was a foreseeable thing that we knew after the Benghazi attacks in 2012. Right now, I've been talking to people who've been at the U.S. Embassy recently, who've been engaged in the security procedures, and they told me this was a disaster waiting to happen. And I must say, Secretary Kerry at least had the foresight to evacuate the embassy, unlike Hillary Clinton, who left our people out to dry on September 11th, 2012.
So has this been kind of an unraveling over the past 3 years? Are there major events that happened recently that kind of led to this implosion? What's the best way to describe what's happened there?
Well, both, but there has been a rapid deterioration over the past couple of weeks. Just today, in Benghazi, the Ansar al-Sharia group, which, of course, was involved in the attacks on our special mission compound in Benghazi, as I report in my book, Dark Forces, they have announced an Islamic Sharia state, a caliphate, a portion of the caliphate. So they have taken over Benghazi and declared Islamic law. In Tripoli, you still have ongoing fighting at the airport. The international airport has been bombed, shelled repeatedly. Aircraft have been destroyed on the ground. Libyans are basically isolated from the rest of the world. The country is going to the hell in a handbasket. And really, today, it's just about the Italians are the only ones who are left in the international community there.
Ken, in terms of what our position has been, our policies have been during that time, are there things that we did that you believe contributed to that, or are things just beyond our control there?
Well, to start with, and this is really the story that I tell in Dark Forces, the Obama administration engaged in the sabotage, the undermining of a regime, Gaddafi's regime in Libya, that was no threat to the United States whatsoever. Gaddafi had given up his weapons of mass destruction. He had destroyed his ties to terrorist groups. He was helping the United States in the war on terror. Was he a nice guy? No, he wasn't. Were people in political prisons? Yes, they were. Were thousands jailed? No. He was a thug. He was a dictator, but he was not a threat to the United States. And frankly, he wasn't even a threat to the Libyan people. And yet, we overthrew him, and the result of that was predictable. It was getting these Islamist groups, these jihadi groups, who we helped to arm, by the way. We helped to arm them in Benghazi and elsewhere. They took over the country, and since then, they've been fighting for control.
Are there any good guys here?
There aren't any good guys who are left, at least, who dare to poke their heads up above ground. I suspect you're going to see once again a pro-Western, liberal-style Libyan opposition surfacing in London or perhaps in Spain or other European capitals seeking Western support. But right now, you have one flavor of Islamist extremist or another.
Sounds like you don't expect our diplomatic staff to be returning anytime soon.
Well, that's hard to say because they are responding to very specific security threats. It's possible that one of these factions comes out on top and dominates the government and then pledges to provide security. I tend to doubt that is going to happen. I think where we're headed is really continued chaos and continued fighting in Libya, and I don't expect the American embassy to open up soon. But it could open up further down the line if, as I say, if one group comes out on top and pledges to guarantee security.
If there's factional chaos or even some form of a civil war in Libya, that might in and of itself not impact our national security too much. But if some of these groups potentially gain more and more momentum here that could potentially spread. What's your sense on the threat to the region or even to us if, in fact, what we're seeing there right now keeps on happening?
Well, one of the stories I tell in Dark Forces is how the weapons that we delivered to the Libyan opposition, the anti-Qaddafi forces, leaked into the jihadi networks around the world. So that's a very clear threat. When you have surface-to-air missiles, and there were hundreds that have disappeared from Libya, when you have those surface-to-air missiles coming, getting into the jihadi networks, winding up in the Sinai, winding up in Gaza, one of them, is a story I tell in my book, is used to shoot down a U.S. helicopter in Afghanistan in 2012. This is a clear threat to U.S. security interests around the world, and I think it's something that has got our officials at the in the intelligence community and even in the military very worried.
I certainly remember reading the excerpt about the chopper being shot down in Afghanistan. What do we know about the extent of Libya's weapons that could potentially be disseminated here, and do we have a decent handle on where they've gone?
Well, the State Department pretty much acknowledged that about 2,500 surface-to-air missiles, Russian surface-to-air missiles, disappeared from Qaddafi's arsenals. I was able to document in Dark Forces that about 800 of them wound up in this jihadi arms bazaar in northern Niger. That's a country in Africa just below Libya where they were traded. They were upgraded with CIA batteries, then traded amongst various jihadi groups and wound up in the Sinai, Gaza, and elsewhere. That's 800 missiles that are out on the loose. Now, it's quite possible that Israel wound up destroying a good number of them in airstrikes that they launched on warehouses in Sudan about a year and a half ago. So that's a piece of good news. But, you know, we shouldn't be relying on Israel for our security. We should have kept a better handle on these missiles. And I am reporting in my book that John Brennan, who is currently the CIA director, actually tried to shut down an operation that would have stopped the leakage of these missiles into the jihadi networks.
Last question for you, Ken. At this point, is it too early to write an epitaph or a summary of the Arab Spring? We see what's happening in Libya. We still see what's happening in Syria. Egypt, of course, went the way of the Muslim Brotherhood until the military took it back. At this point, what can we say to summarize that stretch of history in the region?
Well, what I think we can say confidently is that the Arab Spring, while it may have had some liberal pro-Western leanings in the beginning, was quickly dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood, quickly dominated by jihadi forces, and in fact has ushered in a period of darkness across the Arab world.
Well, on that sobering note, we'll have to call time. Ken, congratulations on the book. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Ken Timmerman, longtime author and reporter. His most recent book is Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.